हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भा व्यासशङ्करमध्यमा अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ता वन्दे गुरुपरम्परा श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बालरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्रुषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। बिफोर् we enter into the topic of the commentary on karma, where we need to understand upasana, it is better to have an understanding of adhibhyasana. So this morning I said jnana yogaha, the discipline of pursuit of knowledge involves three steps. Shravanam is the first step. Shravanam is the discipline one should go through in order to have the ignorance resolved, to have the jnanam. Shravanam alone will help you resolve ignorance. Shravanam alone will help us have jnanam, knowledge. Then mananam is for having the doubts resolved. Mananam will help you to resolve the doubts in what we have understood through shravanam. Even after shravanam and mananam, even if a person has very clear, doubt-free knowledge of the truth, not as an object, as one's own self, in the vision, clear vision of which one would have cognitively resolved one's self in truth, one's essence in truth, even with a clear understanding, one may not be able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Because of our problem of forgetfulness. And forgetfulness means, even after having the jnanam, because our habits, still the error may be there. The error in our perception may continue to be there because of our habits. So ignorance caused error can be resolved by shravanam. then Mannam can help you have the doubts resolved, but still habit caused errors will be there. Once when the habit caused error is there, still we will not be enjoy the benefit. And to break the habit. Breaking the habit is the toughest thing. To break the habit, thereby to be able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge, to remain absorbed in one's understanding, or to abide in one's clear vision one has, to enjoy the benefit, the discipline prescribed is contemplation, otherwise called Nididhyasana. This morning I gave an example. I thought, let me tell you another example also to make it much clearer. This is an example usually Pujya Swamiji also used to give. Many of my talks I give this example. There is a beggar in India and he is sitting with other beggars in front of the temple. And all devotees who go to temples, they put some money in their containers. Still, all beggars then every day cut some coins, make some money. Because a lot of devotees go to the big temple, huge temples if you go, pilgrim centers. Many devotees go, and on the way they put some money. So they all beggars make some money. And one of the beggars, when he collects money, one day he bought a lottery ticket. And what happens? He won the lottery. And he did not become simply rich. He became a big millionaire. Billionaire, maybe. Overnight, he became very rich. From being a beggar, collecting some coins in front of the temple, overnight he became a very rich man. And in few months time, his status completely changes. And he was not sitting there anymore as a beggar. He has moved away. He has got his own house and his own people. And then one day he comes to the temple in a car. Because he is a new rich man and he is wearing 10 rings in all 10 fingers. All diamond studded, nice gold rings. With that nice silk dress, completely, the beggar's position has completely changed. How he used to look before, now his whole appearance has changed. He looks very smart and he wears nice, very rich clothes and all that. The beggar came and the driver opened his door, car door. He got out of the car and somewhere in front of the temple, near the temple, some devotee was distributing some laddus. All those people who were in, many devotees and other beggars and other people who were went there. In India, prasada means nobody wants to leave. Want to leave prasada. Nobody want to miss the prasada. So they all ran. So all the big crowd was surrounding that man who was distributing laddus. And all of them were, you know, stretching their hands like this. For me, I'm here, I'm here. So this distributor was carefully giving one by one. He was trying to give everybody distributing letters. This rich man, who was a big beggar before, few months ago, and he saw the crowd, he saw somebody distributing the laddus, ran towards the distributor of laddus, and like any other beggar, like any other devotee there, he also stretched his hands and asked for laddu, for me, for me, for me. And he got his laddu and he came back. Then he realized, gee, I am a very rich man, but I can get any number of laddus, say what you want, I am a rich man. And then I forgot I am rich. Like any other beggar, any other devotees, I also ran like others to get the laddu. What is the difference between the beggar and the rich man, all other beggars and this rich, new rich man? Others ran because they are still really beggars. This man ran, he is not a beggar anymore. He is a rich man now. But he was as good as another beggar. He was like another beggar. Even though he is rich, he was like another beggar. Why? Because he forgot he is rich. He didn't remember he was rich. So he also ran. He felt shy, he felt bad. But the distributor was a little surprised, because this man we have wearing all five rings, all five fingers have five rings, and he is also stretching his hand for laddu. Then he came back and he was sitting in the car. He went inside, he came back and he was on his way back. After praying and everything was over, on his way back he was sitting in the car and he was telling his driver, you know what happened? I am rich. I shouldn't have run like that other people to get the laddus. Why I forgot? I behave like a beggar. Even though I am rich, I behave like a beggar. The driver said, Swami, oh Master, you were sitting like among them for many years. You were sitting among them as one of the beggars. Now you have become rich only recently. But definitely you are not a beggar. You are really rich. But you have old habit of running and begging. You have this old habit of running and begging. That habit, is running and asking for laddu, is not an ignorance caused error. You know you are rich. You know you are no more poor. But still you forgot you are rich. Why you forgot? Because of the habit. Old habit. For many years you have been begging. So this error is not ignorance caused error. It's a habit caused error. Now what I should do now to get it off is, again when I see somewhere something, I should not run like this. I should remember I am rich. So that the habit of having been begging for years, that habit has to be now broken. Breaking the habit is very difficult. What should I do? The driver said, you are really rich. You are not poor anymore. You know you are rich, and what you should do, you must repeatedly dwell upon this fact, you are rich. I am rich. I am rich. I am rich. I am rich. how long to dwell upon until you do not forget. Is it clear? But here this rich man was asked to remember. He was not simply asked to repeat. Suppose somebody who is really a beggar, who is still really a beggar, if the beggar simply says, I am rich, I am rich, I am rich, can he become rich? No. The beggar, remaining a beggar, if he repeats, I am rich, I am rich, he cannot become rich. Even if the person who is rich does not remember he is rich, then he is as good as being poor. Is it clear? Similarly, like we have been ignorant for so many janmas. This jnanam happens. Now you are no more ignorant. Now you know you are, you have jnanam. Now you know what you are. But still we forget. Why we do not forget? If we forget, our old habitual error caused, ignorant habit caused error is still there. Suppose without knowing what you are, you simply say aham atma, aham atma, aham brahmasmi. Mechanically repeating aham brahmasmi, aham atma will be of no use. You must really know you are Brahma. So knowing you are Brahma, and if you remind yourself of what you are really, then in due course of time, it will break your old habit of identifying yourself with the body. Then this habit caused error also will resolve. Then you will have this wisdom always in your mind. And all situations, whenever you need this knowledge will be handy. So you can enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Is it clear? This is nididhyasanam. So I said mainly, what is nididhyasanam for? I made it very, very clear. Whether contemplation or meditation, whether Saguna Brahma Upasanam or Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, meditation is a mental activity. So, Manasa Vyaparaha. Manasa Vyaparaha means mental activity. So, the meditation you practice before the attainment of knowledge, as a preparatory discipline, if you practice meditation, it is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. After the attainment of jnanam, if you practice meditation, which is contemplation, it is for assimilation of what you have understood. Okay, so when do we practice meditation? Before the attainment of jnanam, meditation can be practiced. And what is that meditation for? So practicing meditation before the attainment of jnanam is not for the attainment of knowledge. It is for steadying the mind, for purifying the mind. It is a preparatory discipline. It is for antakarana naishchalyartham. For it is for mental steadiness. Meditation is a discipline practiced for mental steadiness. To change the restless, agitated mind into a steady, calm mind. So meditation practiced before the attainment of jnanam will not remove ajnanam. Similarly, meditation practiced after the attainment of jnanam also is not for the removal of ignorance, it's only for the assimilation, ascertainment of what you have already known through Shravanam. Then what is that which will help me resolve my ajnanam? Meditation cannot remove your ignorance. Shravanam alone will remove your ignorance. What is the discipline I should follow to have my ignorance resolved, to remove my ignorance? Shravanam is the discipline one should follow to resolve the ignorance, to dispel the darkness of ignorance. And what is meditation for then? What is the purpose of meditation? Meditation practiced before the attainment of knowledge is for mental, for disciplining the mind. And meditation practiced after the attainment of jnanam is contemplation, nididhyasanam, nirguna brahma upasanam. This is also not for removing ignorance. It is only for ascertaining, assimilating what has been clearly already understood through shravanam and mananam. Okay, and so that vidhyasanam, otherwise called contemplation, should result in the ascertainment of the clear vision, what you already got, which itself is jivanmukti. Is it clear? Now, what is contemplation? How I should contemplate on the... You understood what is contemplation for? It is very clear. What is contemplation? What is contemplation for? Is very clear. Repeatedly dwelling upon your swarupam is contemplation. How can you dwell upon your own nature or nature of reality? When you dwell upon the nature of reality, you are dwelling upon your own nature, because reality is your nature. For which Shastram has many words. If you remember Bhagavad Gita words, the words of Bhagavad Gita, Nitya sarvagata sthanuh achaloyam sanatanah avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate. Just example I'm giving. Just example. What is the first word? Nityaha sarvagataha sthanuh achalaha sanatanaha avyaktaha achintyaha avikaryaha. Eight words, just a casual count. Each and every word reveal the nature of reality. Now you are already exposed to the teaching. Now you understood the meaning of every word. Every word in that particular verse reveals the nature of reality, Atma, obtaining as your own self in terms of its given nature. So how does the word Nityaha reveal your swarupam? Nityaha means timeless, that which is always there, beginningless, endless, changeless, eternal, timeless. So Atma Nitya means Atma is of the nature of timelessness. How will you understand? You have to see, time is subtlest factor. it is no form, but still time is an object of knowledge. Time being the object of knowledge, time does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, time is mithya, which means time comes and goes. But what is satyam with reference to time? What is that which lends existence to the very time? It is the knower of time. Knower of the time alone lends existence to the time. Time factor. So time does not exist outside of the knower. And who is this knower of? Who is this knower of the time? I already said, Kalaha Jagad Bhakshakaha. Aham Kalasyami Bhakshakaha. Time is the devourer of the world, and I, the knower, am the devourer of the time. Kala Kalantakaha, Kala Kaleshwaraha. So many names are there for Bhagavan. So knower of the time is free from time limitation. How do you say knower of the time is free from time limitation? Who is the knower first of all? You already know very well. You arrived at the knower. There is no knower other than formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is pure knowledge, implied by the term pure knowledge, pure consciousness or pure awareness. It is this formless reality, pure consciousness is implied by the term Atma. Consciousness is always there, knowing the presence of the time in waking state, knowing the absence of time in deep sleep state. Time being not there in deep sleep state is known. Time being present in waking state also is known. How do you know time being not there in deep sleep state is known? Because on waking up from sleep, you can recollect your experience, deep sleep state experience, because you were there as a knower of the timeless. Okay? Absence of knowing, absence of time. Therefore, consciousness is free from time limitation. The pure knowledge which knows time, the absence of time in deep sleep state, in the same consciousness obtains as the knower in waking state, knowing the presence of time. So consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. I am timeless consciousness. Is it fact or not? Is it a fact or not? I am timeless consciousness. Because you know, you have already objectified everything. You have distinguished I. Resolve the I sense in knower, knower in consciousness. I am timeless consciousness. When you see this, when you dwell upon this fact, I am timeless consciousness, what is the distance between you, the meditator, and the meditated consciousness? What is the distance? Is there subject-object division in meditation, contemplation? There is no meditator-meditated difference. do not accept I am saying, you must be fact for you right now. It is not very clear. I come back into morning again with contemplation class. So also sarvagataha, all pervasive. Sarvagataha means all pervasive. All pervasiveness is the swarupam of nature of reality, obtaining as one's own self. How Atma, the formless reality, consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Again, you have to see. This is a fact that there is nothing which is not pervaded by consciousness, but still space is all pervasive. There is nothing which is as pervasive as space, other than Atma. And this all pervasive, all accommodative space is an object of knowledge. Is it true or not? Space is object of knowledge. And the space also, spatially limitless space, also is subject to time limitation. Time is subject to time limitation. Spatially limitless space also is subject to time limitation. Because space is an object, there is a time it is not. Space also comes and goes. In waking, space enjoys the status of being existent. In deep sleep state, space loses its status of being existent. Space comes and goes. Space is an object of knowledge. It means, where does space exist? Space comes and goes means, where does it exist? Space does not exist outside of the knower. As object of knowledge, space is an object of knowledge, therefore it is of the nature of inertness, it does not have independent existence, therefore it is mithya. So I have to say one by one. Which means this mithya space, where does it exist? Mithya must have some substratum. What is the locus of space? Where does space exist? The space, the known space, doesn't have independent existence outside of the knower of the space. And who is the knower of the space? You are the knower of the space. So the formless reality, the consciousness, is always there as a knower of absence of space and presence of space. So consciousness is not in space, but space enjoys its existence in awareness, consciousness. What accommodates, what pervades what? Does consciousness pervade this space, or does space pervade the consciousness? Definitely you know. Okay? Knower consciousness pervades this space. Now we can say how consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness. So I am all pervasive consciousness, Atma. Let's see. What is the distance between you, the meditator, and consciousness? the meditator is consciousness. Consciousness is not the meditator, but the meditator is consciousness. Is it clear? Like what? Illuminator is light. The light is not the illuminator. Is it clear? Illuminator is light, is not the illuminator, but the illuminator is light. So who is the meditator? I am the meditator. So meditator is consciousness. What is the distance between, please see, what is the distance between illuminator and light? Are they two? No. So when you are a meditator, and what are you meditating on? Your own Swarupam. There's no distance between you, meditator you, and the meditated Swarupam obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. I'm sure you're all seeing what I'm saying. You must see, subject-object difference is not there in contemplation. This is another way of contemplation also, which I can, if Bhagavan wishes, time permits, I'll see towards the end, I can do that. But I want to introduce this first. Then again, sthanuhu. The word sthanuhu also reveals Atma in terms of its nature of motionlessness. Now you see, the meditator, who is the meditator? I. So meditator is, what is the swarupam of meditator? Consciousness. And does consciousness move? You have to just give some time. See. You must see first of all. You have to see what the know the meditator is, knower is, and then you understand how consciousness is of the nature of motionlessness. So you can say, I meditator am motionless consciousness, implied by the term sthanuhu. Achalaha. Consciousness is immovable, unmoving, immovable. Achalaha. I am immovable consciousness. I am the meditator. My swarupam is consciousness, and there is no distance, difference between the meditator I and consciousness. This is a fact, you must be able to see it. You must have understood already through Shravanam, and you must be dwelling upon this constantly. There must be a time. This is what is contemplation. This is how contemplation has to be practiced. It's another way of practicing contemplation also, which I will teach you some other time. Just I wanted to introduce a little bit. So this is called learning to be with oneself, being seated with one's own self. Being seated with one's own self means what? The whole attention of your mind is taken away from everything. Attention is focused on your own Swarupam. It's called being with oneself, being one's own self, being seated with oneself. I'm just explaining. I can go on and on. I have to finish this text. I want to differentiate this. This is contemplation. You must definitely understand how there is no subject, object, meditator, meditated, division, difference is not in contemplation. Contemplation is a mental activity, therefore contemplation is meditation. But any meditation is not contemplation. Is it clear? Okay. Now, why I have to tell you all that? We have to talk about upasanam here. And I said upasanam is a word which means being seated near, placing one's attention near the object of meditation. And Shastram says, Devata, any natural phenomenon can be a symbol for the Lord, the whole. Object of meditation must be only the Lord. Then, otherwise, we cannot call it a meditation. So, there's a definition of meditation. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha Upasana. Sagunam. So, Vishaya means object. The object of meditation. Manasa Vyaparaha, mental activity, for which the object is Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma means Ishvaraha, the whole. For us, what is Lord? The manifestation of knowledge is the Lord. And the source of manifestation is Swarupam Brahma, Nirgunam Brahma. So the whole universe is for us Ishvara. How can you meditate upon the whole? How can fraction dwell upon the total? Your mind is small mind. How can your mind dwell upon the whole universe? That is why we always have murtis, symbols, a mantra, or any given devata, any one given phenomenon can be taken as an alambanam. Alambanam means a support, a symbol which stands for the whole. It can be any given devata, natural phenomenon, or it can be any murti, any name, any one mantra which symbolizes Ishvara, the whole, the Lord, the whole. And here we have such upasanas are here. Upasana Kanda itself prescribes many meditations. And with practicing those meditations, lots of benefits are also prescribed. You must understand the difference. Now we'll enter into this verse. Not worse, actually, you see the meaning. So we saw in the morning, from this 9th mantra onwards until the 18th mantra, until the last mantra of the Upanishad, all these 10 mantras only elaborate on the topic of karma, path of karma or karma yoga. And this discipline of karma yoga, this path of karma is prescribed for only for those who want to live their lives performing actions, performing rituals, and who are committed to the performance of action, and who are naturally inclined for performing actions. So karmina, karma nishta, karma kurvantaha eva, ye jijivishavaha, te vyaha idam ucchete. Only for them these mantras are prescribed. The teaching here is prescribed. Okay. Let us see the mantra. Andhan tamah pravishanti, ye vidyam upasate. To break it, ye avidyam upasate, tato bhuyaiva, te tamah, ya O vidyaya amrataha, vidyaya amrataha, vidyaya amrataha. Vidyaya agum is a chandasa, Vedic usage, vidyaya amrataha. What is said in this verse, mantra? First of all, we have to understand in this mantra, the words used have different meanings. We all know the word vidya means knowledge. But here, the word vidya means meditation. And the word avidya means karma. Completely different meanings. Generally, what do we know? Avidya means ignorance. Vidya means knowledge. Avidya, vidya. Vidya means knowledge. Avidya means ignorance. But in this mantra, the word avidya means karma. Karma means ritual. And avidya means meditation, upasanam. Vidya means meditation. Completely different meaning. So, in karma kanda, rituals are prescribed. By performing rituals, you can enjoy some benefits. And with practicing meditation also, we can enjoy different benefits. There's a phalam for practice of upasanam. There's a phalam benefit for performing ritual also. So as I said, in performing a ritual, body is involved, it's a kayikam karma. If mantras are recited, it's also vachikam karma, oral activity is also involved. So when you are performing a ritual, physically, orally reciting, your mind also is involved there. It is, isn't it? So kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma. What is that? When you perform a ritual, all the three are involved. Whereas in upasanam, in vidya, upasanam, mind alone is involved. I mentioned this in the morning also. No. This mantra actually condemns performing a ritual independently, separately, without combining it with meditation. This mantra also condemns practicing meditation without performing a ritual. So independent practice of meditation is condemned. Independent performance of ritual is also condemned. And we should know, condemnation of mere performance of a ritual, condemnation of mere practice of meditation, upasanam, let me use the word upasanam, okay? Mere practice of upasanam without performing a ritual, or mere performance of a ritual without practicing upasanam is condemned here. So condemnation is not really for condemning the mere practice of meditation, upasanam, or mere performance of ritual. Condemnation is always for glorifying something else. Okay, in order to glorify something else, indirectly glorifying something else, highlighting the importance of something else is condemned. So what is importance of what is highlighted here? What is praised or glorified here? Indirectly, combination of performance of ritual and practice of meditation. This combining upasanam with a performance of ritual is called karma upasana samuchayaha. Combining practice of upasanam with a performance of ritual is called karma upasana samuchayaha. Samuchaya means synthesis, combination, combining. And how Upanishad condemns here? Read the mantra. Andhantamaha prashanti ye avidyamupasate. Just understand the meaning of the word first. Words first. Upasate literally means worship. Literally means worship. Avidya means, I told you already, here it does not mean ignorance. Avidya means karma. Avidya upasate means those people, ye is a relative pronoun. Those people who merely perform a ritual. Those people, pravishanti enter. Who enter? Those people who merely perform ritual without combining it with the practice of upasanam, those people enter. They enter where? Andham tamaha. Tamaha means darkness, tamas. Andham means blindness. Andaha means blind person. Andham tamaha means blindening darkness. Blindening darkness here implies hell. We don't know hell. Okay. Narakam, narakaha. Oh my God. People who merely perform only rituals and without combining it with any practice of meditation, they enter into the blinding darkness will enter into hell. Is the meaning of the first sentence. And second sentence. Yeah, who is there? You should take it as ye. Ye and the other people, some other people. Oh, vidyayam rataha. There are other people who are engrossed, involved. Rataha means engrossed, involved only in practicing meditation. There are other people who are involved or engrossed only in practicing upasanam without performing any ritual. Without performing karma. Ye vidyayam rataha. And he mantra says, te tataha bhuyaha iva tamaha pravishanti. They also enter into much darker, much more blinding darkness. More blinding darkness. They enter into much darker place. They enter into much darker place, much more blinding darkness. Means they enter into worse hell, greater hell. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. Can anyone believe this? The following mantra is going to tell us what all benefits, how we can benefit by performing a ritual. We practice meditation, what is the benefit? We are going to understand. Why push it phrase such? This is style of the teaching. See, if you combine ritual with practice of upasanam, then it is much more efficacious. To make a person enjoy better result, to make his effort more efficacious, now here Veda itself wants people to practice meditation upasanam along with the performance of ritual. So Veda wants people to perform ritual along with the practice of upasanam. Veda wants us to combine both. What is it of combining? See, when independently, separately ritual is performed, ritual is effective. Ritual will produce a result. Upasanam practiced independently also will produce a result. You combine them both, then you will have much more efficacious. Much more efficacious, you have a better result. It means when you combine, it is better. So combination is always better. To highlight the importance, the necessity of combining one with the other, instead of practicing both separately, one without the other, one must practice, for which Upanishad here condemns this mere practice of upasanam, mere practice performance of ritual. It's okay. It's also what now? Nathu? Ninda, this Ninda, Natu Nindartha, Ninda Anyastutyartha. It's called Nahi Ninda Nyaya. It is simply to praise something else has to be condemned. This is the literal meaning of the mantra. Okay? We don't need to take it seriously, but we have to know. Let us go to our Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's favorite argument. That is where clarity will come. So, we take next page number, next page, let's go next page, 56, page number 56. So here Purva Pakshi comes. Purva Pakshi means the person of another party, an opponent who objects this view. What is the view here? His objection is on what? This Purva Pakshi, his objection is based on what Shankara said last. He would not object the Veda Mantra. He would only object Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. What does Shankara say? Yetu karminaha karma nishtaha karma kurvantaha eva ijivishavaha tebhyaha idam ucchate. When Shankara Bhagavatpada mentioned, okay, be with me now. He mentioned this following portion consisting of 10 verses are all elaboration of karma kanda, karma yoga, and these mantras, the teaching given in these mantras is for only for those who are committed to performance of karma, or who are inclined for performing karma, who want to live their lives performing karma. And this portion is not at all for people who are inclined for jnanam. This portion is not, it's not subject matter meant for, you know, people who deserve jnana kandaha. Not for sannyasis. It's for grihasthas. This is for ignorant people. Is it clear? So he differentiates. Now Purva Pakshi holds on to that statement. Why does he hold on to that statement? In Upanishad, just the mantras are prescribed. But Upanishad does not say that these mantras, the teaching given in these mantras is for sannyasis. Yes, you know, the Jnana Kandaha is the pursuit of knowledge, is the discipline of pursuit of knowledge is for those who are inclined for Jnana, those who are mature, and those who are qualified for Jnana, and those who are not yet qualified for Jnana, for them the discipline of Karma Yoga. Such division, such difference is not presented by the Upanishad. Upanishad just only just presents all the teaching itself. It's a commentator's job. The person who writes commentary on these mantras, and he has to clarify which teaching given in which mantras is for whom. So if you go to a medical shop, all the medicines he has, you have to take the doctor's prescription, okay, all the prescriptions for all the patients, not same medicine, for different patients, different medicines. Chemists will have all the medicines, but who has to prescribe which medicines for whom? Doctor. It's doctor's job to give prescription which patient should buy, have which medicine. But the chemist will have all medicines. He doesn't have prescription. That's it. Veda Shastram, Upanishad has all mantras. But here, the commentator, the Bhashyakaraha, is like a doctor who prescribes medicine for different patients, and he differentiates the teaching. The contents of those mantras are for people who are ready for Jnana Kandaha. The contents of these mantras are for the people who are inclined for performing karma. This differentiation is made clear by Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary. Upanishad itself does not give any, present any, does not clarify this. Therefore, the Pura Pakshi is asking the question now. Katham, yes, you know, katham, punaha, evam avagamyate, natu, sarvesham iti. So he is telling, Pura Pakshi is asking, how is it understood? Katham punaha avagamyate. How is it understood that these karma, subject matter of the karma kanda or karma yoga presented in these mantras are not for all the people, only for karmis, only for karma yogis, only for these people? Natu sarvesham iti katam avagamyate. He says, it's only Shankara Bhakti, it is your commentary, you are saying, why does he say this? He says, karma and jnanam should be combined. He is interested in combining, synthesizing karma yoga and jnana yoga. He wants both disciplines should be combined. Okay? He says, a sannyasi also should perform karma. Vidvat sannyasi should perform karma. Along with his commitment to pursuit of knowledge. Vidisha sannyasi also should perform karma. Along with his being given to the discipline of jnana yoga. And the people who are unqualified also should perform karma. Means all the people must perform karma. Which means his intention is that he wants that we should perform knowledge, jnana yoga and karma yoga. Both disciplines must be followed by all the individuals for attainment of jnanam. This is his argument. But Shankara Bhagavatpada does not deny that all individuals definitely must follow both the disciplines, but both cannot be followed simultaneously. Both can be followed only sequentially. Simultaneously following means what? Combining means sama samuchchayaha. Jnana karmanoho sama samuchchayaha is not possible, is not practical. Following both disciplines simultaneously is not possible, is not practical. But both have to be followed sequentially by every individual. One has to follow discipline of karma yoga. Thereby one must get oneself prepared mentally. Then one must be given to the discipline of jnana yoga. Then one must attain jnanam, which itself is moksha. Sequentially they should be followed. Sequentially combining these two disciplines is called krama samuchchayaha. Sama samuchchayaha is Shankara Bhagavatpada does not accept. But Shankara accepts krama samuchchayaha, not sama samuchchayaha. Sequential combination, sequential synthesis is called krama samuchchayaha. Simultaneous synthesis is called sama samuchchayaha. Following both the disciplines simultaneously is called sama samuchchayaha, which Shankara does not accept, is not possible, it is not practical. But is following both one by one after the other, Karma Yoga first, then Jnana Yoga, sequentially, is called Krama Samuchchayaha. That is acceptable. Okay, why? He is going to give the reasons now. So when this Purvapakshi asks the question, that is where the teacher has to come with the answer. So Shankara Bhagavatpada has to answer, because he is the commentator. Why do you write commentary like that? It is your commentary. You are writing whatever you want to write. Why should I accept your commentary? I have my own way of interpreting these mantras. Because Upanishad does not say this is for Jnana Yoga, is for sannyasis, Karma Yoga is for karmis, karma. Upanishad does not differentiate, but you are differentiating. So the question is, katham punaha evam avagamyate? How is it then understood? Natu sarveshamiti? How do you say it is not for all the people? Why not upasanam and karma not for all the people? Why is it not prescribed for all the people? Only for karminaha, karmanishtaha. That's the question. See the answer now. Uchyate.
Uchyate.
Okay. First he says, okay, please listen. Okay. I am telling you now why both the disciplines are not for all people. Which discipline is for which people? Why I differentiate? Please listen. He gives the answer. Akaminaha,
akaminaha,
sadhya sadhana bheda,
sadhya sadhana bheda,
upamardena,
upamardena.
You have to go to last sentence again. Atma ekatva vijnanam uktam. Atma, atma ekatva,
ekatva,
vijnanam,
vijnanam,
uktam,
uktam.
Now what he says, yasmin sarvani bhutani, he mentions all those mantras. Yasmin sarvani bhutani, atmanyeva abhut vijanataha, tatra koshok, ko mohaha, kahashokaha, ekatum anupashyataha iti. Okay? Shankara Bhagavatpada quotes mantra, quotes that particular mantra wherein the benefit of jnanam is discussed. Remember, there was one verse which we saw 2 days ago. In that particular mantra, of course all the mantras, he quotes one mantra for sample. In that mantra, where benefit of knowledge was discussed, quoting that, he says, in all those 8 mantras, from 3rd mantra to the 8th mantra, Atma Swarupam was discussed, knowledge was discussed, benefit of knowledge also was discussed. In all those mantras, it was made very clear. Even the very first mantra, it was made very clear. What was made very clear? Akaminaha. Akamina means, akami means the person who is free from the hold of desires. The dispassionate person is called akami. Kami means the passionate. Akami means the dispassionate person. For a person who is dispassionate, for him, akaminaha, for a dispassionate person who is dispassionate, a sannyasi is a dispassionate person. The person who is qualified for jnana is also a dispassionate person. The person who has understood the atma also naturally dispassionate person. And mature individuals, dispassionate people, and for such mature individuals, dispassionate people, for them, ஆத்ம ஏகத்துவ விஞ்ஞானம் உக்தம். நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் விஞ்ஞானம் மீன்ஸ் நாலெட்ஜ், நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் ஒன்னஸ் ஆஃப் த ரியாலிட்டி இம்ப்ளைட் பை த டெர்ம் ஆத்மா வாஸ் டாட், வாஸ் செட் உக்தம். ஆத்ம ஏகத்துவ விஞ்ஞானம் உக்தம் அகாமினஹ. So for dispassionate people who have knowledge of the self or who are qualified for knowledge of the self, for vidvat sannyasis, for yusha sannyasis, knowledge of the oneness of the truth implied in the term atma was taught. And how was it taught? Sadhya sadhana bheda upamardena. Upamardaha means negation. So by negation of all the difference, negation of difference between sadhana sadhya, means and ends. The means are atma, the ends are atma. Sadhana sadhya, sadhana means, sadhya means ends. சாதன சாத்ய பேதஹ, டிஃபரன்ஸ், நோ காஸ் எஃபெக்ட் டிஃபரன்ஸ், மீன்ஸ் அண்ட் எண்ட் டிஃபரன்ஸ், பர்ஃபார்மர் பர்ஃபார்ம்ட் பர்ஃபார்ம் பர்ஃபார்மன்ஸ் டிஃபரன்ஸ், மெடிடேட்டர் மெடிடேட்டட் மெடிடேட்டர், தியாத்ரு தியான தியேய பேதஹ, நோவர் நோ நாலெட்ஜ் டிஃபரன்ஸ். நாம ரூப பல டிஃபரன்ஸ், காரக கிரியா பல டிஃபரன்ஸ், ஆக்சசரிஸ் ஆக்ஷன், ஆக்சசரிஸ் ரிக்வயர்ட் ஃபார் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ் அண்ட் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ் அண்ட் ரிசல்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ், ஆல் ஆஃப் தம் ஆர் வித்யா. நெகேஷன், பை நெகேஷன், by negating all the differences, the knowledge of the oneness of the truth implied by the term atma was taught to people who are dispassionate, who are vidvat sannyasis, who are vidisha sannyasis, people who have knowledge, who are qualified for jnanam. This was taught. When jnanam, when atma jnanam is taught, when the nature of reality is unfolded, from the standpoint of the nature of reality, all differences are resolved. How cognitively everything is resolvable is shown clearly. Isn't it? Any doubt there? Everything is resolved. This is what is Jnana Yoga. So, Satya Sadhana Bheda Upamaddena Atma Ekatra Vijnanam Uktam. For whom? Is it? For the person. How through these mantras? In all the eight mantras, this was what taught. This is what taught, this is what was taught in all those eight mantras to those people who are qualified for the pursuit of, the discipline of pursuit of knowledge. Okay. And what about karma? So for performance of karma, duality is important. The perception of dualities in jnanam, please listen to me carefully, in jnanam perception of duality is negated, whereas for performing karma duality is important. Is it clear? Duality is important for performing karma. duality is negated in jnanam, whereas duality is needed for performing karma. So, karma and jnanam, these two pursuits, two disciplines are diagonally opposite to each other. So, how can the mature individual who is taught, who is given the vision of Atma, in which all the different circles are resolved, be asked to perform karma? Is it clear? Whereas the person who is asked to perform karma, for him duality is real. In jnanam, kartrutvam is resolved, bhoktrutvam is resolved, the doership is resolved, negated. Atma is not doer. The doership is negated, enjoyership is negated, phalam is negated, results are negated, actions are negated, accessories are negated. Everything is negated means what? Everything is Atma. There is no accessory. There is no accessories required for performing karma other than Atma. What about all the accessories? All are Atma. What about the actions? Actions are Atma. What about the results of actions? Results of actions are also Atma. Everything is Atma. Everything is Atma. Names are Atma, forms are Atma, functions are Atma. Means are Atma, ends are Atma. Causes are Atma, effects are Atma. Everything is Atma. Everything is Atma. This is the vision. Is called what? Knowledge of oneness of the truth implied by the term Atma. Atma ekatva vijnanam. What is Atma ekatva vijnanam? Is it clear? It will afternoon time understand. Atma ekatva vijnanam means knowledge of oneness of the reality implied by the term Atma. What does it mean? Upamaddaha. This negation of all differences. Sadhana sadhya beda upamaddaha. Negation of all differences. Where is the difference? You must show two things, three things. Na? Only you can say talk about difference. Everything is negated as mithya. Everything is resolved in Atma. What is only Atma means, how can there be difference? This was what is jnanam. And this knowledge was said, knowledge was presented to Akaminaha, the dispassionate people. Whereas, for a person who is inclined for karma, what do we say? For him, he has kartrutvam. The doership is needed for karma. Without the doership, without the knowledge, I am the doer, how can karma be performed? Is it? Doership is not negated. In karma, in jnanam, doership is negated. In karma, doership is a qualification. You must have it. You must know that you are the doer. How can you do karma? And you are a bhokta. Do enjoyership is there in. To perform karma, doership is important. Enjoyership is important. All the accessories are real. You can't say all accessories are unreal. All accessories are mithya. Sarvani karakani. All accessories are required for performing a ritual. And actions are real. And the results of actions, of course, are real for a real here. We are negating here. Accepting, all of them are accepted as real. The very purpose of performing a ritual is for the result. For performance of any action is for the result. Therefore, karakas are accepted, accessories are accepted, actions are accepted, results of actions are accepted, all differences are accepted, names, forms and functions are accepted. The whole world is real. Duality is accepted. Is it clear? In jnanam, everything is negated. In karma, everything is accepted. How can the karma, where duality is real and accepted as real, and jnanam, where duality is negated as mithya, how can they both be combined? It's very interesting for me. Do you find it interesting?
Yes.
Do you understand? I know it is, it will take time for you to get into it because of Bhasha, you see. I wish I can spend 1 hour a day to teach some Sanskrit for all of you. As he saw me. In a way, little of Sanskrit, don't need to become scholars. Little of Sanskrit will help you understand and judge so much. And so difference now, what is difference between karma and jnanam, action and knowledge? We understood very clearly. What knowledge here? Self-knowledge. Don't get confused. Performance of action and attainment of knowledge. Or knowledge and action. Self-knowledge and action. In knowledge, duality is negated. In karma, duality is accepted. Duality is important for karma. Duality will be negated in jnanam. Therefore, they both are opposed to each other. They cannot be combined. Is it clear? So he is going to say, tat na kenachit karmana jnanantarenava hi amudha samuchichishati. What he wants to say, tat atma jnanam. What atma? Atma ekatva vijnanam. Atma ekatva vijnanam. They say many times. Atma ekatva vijnanam. Knowledge of oneness of reality implied by the term atma. That knowledge, kena chite karmana, with any action, with any ritual, jnanantarenava, with any meditation, okay, va amudaha samuchichishati. Amudaha, mudaha means deluded person. Amudaha means non-deluded person. It means discriminate person. Viveki, a discriminate person, intelligent person, who understands very clearly the difference between karma and jnanam, how they are diagonally opposed to each other. Okay? The person who understood the difference between karma and jnanam, he is called amudaha in this context. Who is not deluded, who does not have any delusion about the difference between karma and jnanam, such a person na samuchichishati. An intelligent person, the discriminate person who understands very clearly the difference between karma and jnanam, would not like to combine. Would not like to combine this atma ekatva vijnanam, the self knowledge, with any ritual or even with any upasanam. He will not combine ritual this self-knowledge with performance of a ritual or practice of upasanam. One sentence I made very clear to all of you. Shankara's commentary. Atma ekatva vijnanam amudaha na samuchichishati. Samuchichishati. Discriminate intelligent person who understands the difference between karma and jnanam, he would not like to combine self-knowledge with any performance of ritual or with the practice of any practice of meditation also. Why not meditation? No. Meditation is a manasam karma, mental activity. Karma is physical oral activity. So no activity, no action can be combined with jnanam. Which jnanam? Atma jnanam. With self-knowledge. Who says this? Shankara Bhagavatpada says. He answers Purvapakshi. Why? Purvapakshi wants to combine. And what is his name? Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi. Okay, he is a Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi. See, one karma can be combined with another karma. One action can be combined with another action. Many actions also. Physical activity can be combined with the mental activity. But knowledge and action cannot be combined. Okay, this mantra meaning is different. We have not yet gone there. Now we are discussing this. The whole thing is, even before even Shankara Bhagavatpada discussing anything about this mantra and karma, he first sentence, opening sentence, Purvapakshi comes and catches. Karmanishtaha, karminaha, karma kurvanta jiji vishavaha ye tesham idam uktam. This teaching is for them. How do you say this? This teaching is for all. Why can't we say this teaching is for all the people? Why not sannyasis? Vishavaha, vidvat sannyasi, visha sannyasi, prepared people, unprepared people, ignorant people, all of them should perform karma. If they want to pursue jnanam, along with the pursuit of jnanam, they should also perform karma. It means we should combine karma and jnanam. Only then we can attain moksha. Jnana karma samuchaya vadi. And Shankara, Shankaracharya, he doesn't like it. No, he doesn't like it. There's a proper reason is there. There's no personal likes and dislikes, do not have any place here. What is a fact has to be properly presented. The first reason is this. He gives only one reason first. Listen. What did you do? All the 8 verses, the 6 verses, the 3rd mantra to the 8th mantra, it was made very clear. The opening mantra, it was very, very clear. Where we said the whole jagat has to be negated as mithya in atma. all differences are being negated as amithya in Atma. So he here uses the term sadhana sadhya bhedaha, means end ends difference, cause effect difference, form niman function difference. All these differences are negated in Atma Jnanam. And all these differences are retained in performing karma. Therefore, they cannot be combined. He says, he doesn't say you are Modaha. Okay? Shankara Bhagavatpa does not say you are Modaha. Instead of directly saying you are Modaha, you are deluded, he is Amodaha na Samachichishati. What does it mean? Modaha Samachichishati. A discriminate person would not like to combine Atma Jnanam, Atma Ekatva Vijnanam with any karma, karmana, or jnanantarena, upasane, or with any meditation. Mental activity or physical activity, no activity can be combined with self-knowledge. No intelligent person would like to combine. By saying, what does he say? You are not clear enough. You are not discriminate. You do not have viveka. You are deluded. Please have a second thought. Go back, think, and come back tomorrow. Is it clear? I am very happy. No way. One sentence I made very clear now. Na kena chit karmana jnanantarena vahi amodaha samuchichishati. Okay? So we will all na modaha. Okay? We are amodaha. We are all amodaha, not modaha. We are clear. We accept Shankara Bhagavatpada's vision, contention. Don't we? So we are all not amodaha. If there is anybody modaha, modaha means deluded, then you have to sit until 7 o'clock. Until you get to go for Gita Parayana. Okay. Don't worry, now we are taking off. We'll be fast. Only few more things. We'll enjoy us tomorrow. Okay? Questions? Tomorrow morning will be more fresh too. I'm sure you're all enjoying the class.
Oh, Swamiji, you were talking this morning about people having different viewpoints and accepting that people have different standpoints. So, although I find the oneness explained in Advaita Vedanta resonated with me before I even heard of Vedanta, my parents, for instance, follow Chintara Swami, which is the Vaishnava tradition, in the order of Ramanuja, which to my understanding propagates the duality between Jiva and Atma. So how do you
reconcile
these differences in the tradition?
First thing, the teaching, what you're exposed to, you should be true to your own yourself. Yeah. With due respect to all traditions and cultures, with due respect. When you're open, when you try to understand the fact, and you're exposed to the teaching, so the teaching does not contradict your reasoning. That's a strength. Okay? The teaching does not contradict your reasoning, means you have to accept. You accept the fact. understand the fact. People around you, okay, they are given to some different belief systems or teachings. So they have their own views. Don't need to disturb them. Allow them to follow whatever they want to do. Don't need to convince and argue. Unless they're very close to you, they're open enough to listen to what you're saying, you can tell them. Definitely you can tell them. They're not able to listen to you and appreciate, allow them to follow whatever they're given to. At least they're worshipful, they're prayerful, they have some discipline of japa, and they follow dharma. All those things are there. At least they're in the right track. But even though, but you don't need to change yours, your understanding, for the sake of them. Isn't it? Somebody comes and tells you 1 + 1 = 3, you don't need to accept it. If they're friendly, close to you, and you are, we have good rapport with them, friendship is there, they trust you, then you can talk to them quietly, politely, explain to them, make them understand. They're not willing to accept, they never ever go for arguments. Allow them to follow what they want to follow. At the same time, you can be firm in your understanding of what the fact is. And you can validate, one more thing, you can always validate all their practices in the light of the Vedantic vision you have. At least they're praying, they're worshipping, they're chanting, they're doing all things they're doing, discipline they're following. Always you can validate their practices in the light of the Vedantic vision. All these practices will definitely one day will make them think. And, okay, so definitely it will bring them to a better understanding. And however, you should accept them for their sake, for sake of pleasing them. Accepting them is different from accepting what they believe to be real. You accept them, but you don't need to accept what they believe to be real. You don't need to contradict also. You can remain quiet. Why? Because your understanding, you must be convinced of what you have understood. Your understanding is not some mechanical understanding, because the teaching, the understanding which you have got doesn't contradict your reasoning. That is your strength. In fact, the whole Vedantic teaching, people always come and ask. People think, oh, Veda is scientific. To be frank, Veda is not at all scientific. Veda is not scientific, but what is the strength of the Veda? Veda does not contradict science. Vedantic teaching, this vision of non-duality of reality does not contradict the reasoning. It is all accommodative. No? In fact, Vedantic teaching does not contradict any of the scientific theories. Because Vedanta does not have theory of its own. Like that, here also, we have so many Mahatmas, they have their own interpretations and practices. If you see, all the practices and disciplines, what they have prescribed, it's all for mental preparation. All acharyas tell, recite, sing bhajans, pray to Bhagavan, worship Bhagavan, live a life of dharma. All acharyas tell this. Shankar Bhagavatpada tells, Ramanujacharya tells, Madhvacharya tells, even different other, even other belief systems, all of them, they differ. All these people will recommend this. Live a life of dharma. Worship Bhagavan. Pray to Bhagavan. Follow values. At the dharma level, nobody differs. After dharma, only jnana aspect comes, difference comes. So you can validate their practices and disciplines they follow in the light of the Vedantic wisdom, the teaching you have. That's the only way. We don't need to accept their belief systems. At the same time, we don't need to argue and be controversial. See, for more you must be convinced of the fact you have understood. You must be clear that what this is, it's a fact. Yeah. That's why you must work for your clarity. How you can strengthen, see that how clear you are and your understanding. You must take care of your clarity. The more clear, much clearer you become, clearer you are, stronger you will be. Stronger you are, unshakable, you cannot be shaken easily. And once you are clear-minded, you can be objective towards any belief systems. If you are open to listen to you, you can talk to them. Your understanding. And they must have that inner leisure to listen to you, to understand them also. Vedanta needs a lot of composure, mental composure. You must be calm to listen and understand. It's not just, you can't just go talk to the person. As soon as you go home, just open the topic, talk. Not possible. Do you agree what I'm saying? Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, it's already 6 o'clock, so I don't know if
I'm not. I have no problem. But if you are hungry,
so my question is about the. Karma Samuchaya. The current to practice Karma Yoga is that we see the duality, and to practice Jnana Yoga is that there is no duality, so we cannot practice actions. So it's either we are here or we are there.
Okay, and what you're asking?
I just want to clarify my question.
See, now. I tell you, very clear. We are studying the Shastra. We are only listening to the unfoldment of the teaching. Unfoldment of the Shastra's words. We are doing Shravanam. Now we are doing Shravanam. We just started the Shravanam. When you are listening to the teaching, you are understanding all lifestyles, understanding the importance of karma, understanding the necessity of karma, understanding the importance of having mental preparation for knowledge, and understanding how you can, what you should do to prepare your mind for jnanam. And you know very well that living a life of karma yoga is the best way of preparing one's mind. All these things are understanding now. So even to understand what the teaching is all about, Shravanam is important. For which Swamiji really has organized this, arranged for such, at least for these programs. He arranged programs. So listen, but when you are understanding, you are 100% clear, you are still ajnani. Very clear. At the same time, when you started listening, you do understand the teaching, but still you do not have the mental disposition required for assimilating the teaching. See, even in the very first class, you will understand. Even I taught you sometime this in the, as I said in the beginning of the class, I did teach you how you can practice contemplation. You did understand. Which means when once you're exposed to the teaching, the day one, there will be definitely some understanding. You can never say, I have not have any understanding of Vedanta teaching at all. So once you're exposed to the teaching, you definitely have some understanding. The more you listen, more and more clarity comes. But you can never say, I have understood everything thoroughly well. I'm very clear-headed. You cannot say. That's why I told you, nididhyasanam. Even though we have this jnanam, doubts will be there. And also, we forget this teaching also. Very naturally. So now we are listening to the teaching, and now you understand where you stand. You understand where you stand. So it means to understand how important it is for us to live a life of karma yoga. Even as a karma yogi, now your goal is very clear for you. Your commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is definitely there. So for which you are also studying. At the same time, you are not yet ready for knowledge. Therefore, you are also living a life of karma yoga. Isn't it? Only when jnanam comes, they will think of sannyasa. Jnanam, at least a certain degree of maturity comes, then it is different. But now, I mean, other obligatory duties are not there for a sannyasi. So now, okay, for me, at this stage, living a life of karma yoga is the best. Isn't it? So whatever duties I have undertaken here, living in an ashram, so I am doing wholeheartedly, attentively, as Prasada Vedeshwarpana Vidya, I am performing all these things. At the same time, along with doing my duties, I am also studying the Shastram, I am doing the Shravanam for Jnana, and also for us to have strength to live a life of Dharma. Isn't it? So now it is, I'm not saying you should not do anything karma. No. We are talking about, that is two different paths when we talk about for people who are mature. See, rituals, for example, lots of rituals are there. Those rituals are not necessary for a sannyasi. Even marriage, family, are not required for a person who is mature. And social obligated duties are not there. I have to attend the wedding tomorrow morning. I have to attend my friend's party. I have to go for this condolence. I have to go for this ceremony. Like, lots of social obligated duties are there for grihasthas. They are all not there for people who live in ashram or sannyasis. It is a brahmachari, I am saying. So, but still, even though you have taken to this life of brahmacharya, you are living in the ashram. And living in ashram itself is to discipline yourself. It is a sadhana. And you are doing whatever has to be done here. Participating in all the programs and satsang and everything. And you also provided this opportunity to listen to the teaching. That's more important. So you understand the teaching. Isn't it? So here living, even as a sadhu also, doing my duties, living a life of karma yoga, I am also pursuing jnanam. Isn't it? There is no kamuchya here. They are combining. Still listening also is a karma only. There's no confusion. Even for a person to live a proper life of karma yoga, exposure to the Shastra teaching is important. And you understand what is karma yoga for. Then you can, the whole thing becomes very Everything you do with great respect and reverence. Then you know, what are you doing it for? Isn't it? So there is no confusion, you are comparing anything. You are living a life of karma yoga, and even to be able to live a life of karma yoga, you need to have certain understanding, and that understanding you are having being exposed to the study of the Shastra. And in fact, eventually, you are preparing yourself for Jnana Yoga, for Sannyasa. Is that? Sannyasa means maturity. Have you answered the question correctly? Clearly. Correctly answered. Have you clarified your doubt? I've answered correctly, but have you clarified your doubt? It's a good question, because many people ask this. They are living in ashrams, some people even wear swathan robes also, or whether those days. And what are we doing? Already you are a Vidisha sannyasi. Already you are a Vidisha sannyasi. Which means you are actually eligible to be given to the pursuit of knowledge. But you know that you have to be prepared, so you also have certain, isn't it, living life karma yoga also. Once the clarity comes, then naturally karma goes. Even now, even if you perform karma, physically giving up karma is not karma sannyasa. See, now, when you are living your life as a karma yogi, as an ajnani, you are pursuing knowledge means, the more you listen to Shastram, the activities, you need not give up anything. Doership goes. I am the doer, that notion goes in a sannyasi. Is it clear? Physically giving up activities are sannyasa. So you are already Vidisha sannyasi because you are living in an ashram as a brahmachari. And already you want to know, you are a Vidisha sannyasi. And you have sutra, of course, definitely you are qualified to know. You have all qualifications. Only thing is, you physically also have a lot of activities here. The name given is Karma Yoga here. You are doing everything in education. But if you are doing it with the doership is still there, I am doing this. Repeatedly listening and listening and listening, you would be doing the same work, continue to do the same thing. But in jnanam, I am the doer notion goes. Then you are a vidvat sannyasi. Without physically not stopping anything, without stopping anything physically. Doing whatever you have been doing. Listen to the teaching. In due course of time, will remove the notion that I am the doer. That is sannyasa. Is that clear? That notion goes means what? Then in your perception, word, everything will be same, but in your perception, everything is mithya. That is jnanam. When the jnanam comes, when jnanam is very ascertained, then naturally lot of other activities will go. Already living in ashram, other householders' duties are not there for you. You don't have other householders' duties. I have to take my children to school, get them school admission, and make them do homework at home. And they're not well, take them to the hospital, bring them back, and give them medicine, make them eat. Isn't it? Attend birthday parties. You're already free. It's all Vidisha sannyasa. You already don't have such living in ashram. Morning satsang, evening satsang, evening Gita chanting, and morning bhajan, evening bhajan, and then listen to Swamiji, and then do this class and that class, and practice yoga. Where is time for you? Already you are a Vidisha sannyasi. you are given to the pursuit of knowledge. But living in ashram, whatever duties you have to do, you are doing it with proper attitude. There is no combination here. There is no combining. Okay. Have I clarified? Are you okay with my answer? What his question is?
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
Vedanta teaching is like mathematics. Once it is understood very clearly now, it sticks in your mind, it will not go. Again, you don't need to go back and memorize it. If it is not very clear now, you have to listen many times again and again. Isn't it? That's why subtle things I want to make it clear now itself.